good morning. Three of you are awake. That's awesome. All right, very good. Enjoyed getting to meet a few of you already last couple days. And got to go in a couple rooms last night. Got to go in room 18. That's as far as we'll go with that, right? Say amen or else I'll tell what I know, all right? All right, 2 Kings chapter number 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. Second Kings chapter number 6. It's a privilege to speak to you this morning. Everybody's nice and awake, right? You're so convincing. Nice and awake. Like you're walking past a cow field, man. You're awake. Try to steer you in the right direction today. All right. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's read a couple of verses. Verse number 1, if you would. 2 Kings 6, verse number 1. It says, "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they had came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it." Let's pray. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just be with us this morning as we look at your word. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to have your word in our hands, and I pray that we'd be hearers of your word and then doers. I pray that you would speak to every one of our hearts this morning. And Lord, again, I ask you, Lord, just to work in ways that only you can. Put a hedge about us. May the Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts and our thoughts. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In this passage of Scripture, Elisha was with a group of young men, a group of young men that were training and learning for the ministry. Kind of sounds familiar, right? Okay, I'll explain. You're doing the same thing, all right? But he was a young, and these young men were there, and the place where they were meeting was too small, and they needed to add on. And so the young men, they went to Elisha and ask if they could, you know, build on. It says in verse number 1, the place that we do it is too straight for us. And so they were given a job to do. And Elisha's words should sound a little bit familiar to us. He says there at the end of verse number 2, "Go ye." Does that sound familiar? All right, some of us are getting here, all right? Go ye. We have that same commission, do we not? We are to go ye. We need a generation of young men who are willing to serve God. We need a generation of young men who want to serve God. We need a generation of young men who can be committed to the things of God. We do not need a generation to rise up as Judges chapter 2 that does not know God. We need a generation that wants to hear from God, wants to do the things of God. And what I'm afraid of is that in a lot of our churches, we're raising a generation that just has inherited a lot and doesn't appreciate what they have. And when that happens, we allow things to slip through our hands. It isn't just something that's going on now. It's something that has gone on really throughout the ages of time. Joshua fought. He brought his men in, and Israel fought for what they had. And then after that rose a generation that didn't do right. They let things slip. David fought. He was a fighter. He was a man of war. Solomon let things go. You and I, for our faith, we had some Baptist forefathers who died and sacrificed and gave so that we could have what we have. And now today, most young people don't even know their names, don't appreciate what they've done. In this country, as a nation, there's generations who went and they fought for the freedoms that we have, and now we give them away because we don't understand what it cost. And we need to be careful on these things. And here's a group of young men who wanted to serve God. They had a commission to add on, to go do a work. They were told to go ye. And then I like in verse number 3 that they didn't go alone. Their master went with them. Aren't you thankful as we go to fulfill the Lord's work that God doesn't leave us here alone? He said, go ye, but then he said, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm thankful that God is with us where we go. I'm thankful that his presence is there. So they go, you know this story, they head out, they go down, they go to down by the river, and they begin to cut down some trees so every man could get his own beam and take it back. I just want to throw this out there. We all have been commissioned. We all have the Lord's presence with us. And then number 3, every one of us have our own burden that we should be carrying and our own work that we should be doing. These men all went down to get their own beam. They all went down. They took their own axe. They began to cut down the trees. And you know what happens? As the one guy is doing it, he swings. He's hitting that tree. He swings back. And all of a sudden, the axe head flies off and falls into the water. And he looks around. And he says, alas, master, I lost the axe head, right? And you know how the story ends. It's great. It's a miracle, by the way. The master walks up and says, where did it fall in? He goes, right there. And he throws a stick in the water, and all of a sudden, the axe head swims to the top. That should impress you, all right? That's pretty awesome, all right? The axe head swims to the top. And then and you can tell it's amazing because Elisha has to tell him, get it, right? Don't you love that part? Reach out and get it, because he's probably sitting there, right? So his master say, get it. So he reaches down and he gets it, and life is good. Now, I want to go back and look at this real quick with you this morning. You and I have been given a job to do. Every one of us, we have been given a commission. You are all young people, and you have a job. God has a plan for you. God has a commission for every one of us as believers to go into this world. We have his presence that he has promised that he would be with us. And now listen, we all need to do the work. But we had better have the power of God upon our life. I believe this axe head kind of represents the power of God in our life. I believe it's something that we need to reevaluate and look at. Because I think it's easy. You know, you probably heard as teenagers and gone through youth groups and good churches, you probably heard the dangers of being around the wrong friends and peer pressure making you do the wrong things. And that is absolutely true. But I think one of the dangers of churches like mine and yours, where you probably went to, all right, where you grew up, is that the same thing that you got to be careful about peer pressure. But not in a way necessarily that they're going to want you to do wrong. It's simply this. Everybody's doing the right things. You know what? I think you understand what I mean. I'll just use my church as an example with our teenagers, all right? With our young people, most of them we have a school just like you do here. We have an academy. They go through the academy. They do right. I mean, every one of them dresses right. Every one of them listens to the right music. Every one of them, no one talks back, all right? No one rolls their eyes at authority, because if they did, they'd be out, right? No, they don't do it. And everybody behaves. Everybody does right. That's the pressure from your peers. Do right. But the danger is this. You do right just because that's what everybody does. It's not in the heart. You don't have the power of God in your life. Every one of you can put on a tie. All you guys can put on a tie. You ladies can dress right. You can sit here in church, here in this service, and you can go to your classes, and none of you get one demerit all day. Great job. That's what pretty much most people are striving to do today. If one of you stood up and started saying a curse word, you would probably be immediately taken somewhere and stoned, right? I mean, it's just, that's what happens, right? I mean, that's the environment you're in. So it's easy to do the right thing, but where's your heart? You're all doing the right thing, but do you have the power of God in your life? I want you to look at this real quick with me this morning, that we need this power of God, because I'm afraid that many young people, and that's what we're talking about in this passage of Scripture, they were young men. Many young people, they don't realize that they don't have the power of God upon their life. You as a young person, I don't care whether you're sitting in a college or in the academy, you ought to have the power of God in your life. The power of God is not just for Charles Spurgeon. The power of God is not something that R.A. Torrey had a monopoly on, all right? The power of God is something that every young person should have in their life. If you're saved, you should be directed by the power of God in your life, because you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you. If you're saved, do you realize that? The Holy Spirit indwells you. The same Holy Spirit that's in my life, the same Holy Spirit that's in the heart of Pastor Dameron, the same Holy Spirit that's in whoever your church, your pastor's heart, that same Holy Spirit of all these great men of the faith that you have heard about, that's the same Holy Spirit that's working in your life. And you ought to have the power of God upon your life. You say, well, I'm just a young person. So is Daniel. So is Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. So is David when he fought Goliath. We need the power of God. And I want you to see a couple of things in this passage real quick. I want you to understand, looking at that axe head, kind of like the power of God, and I think you'll see the picture this morning. Number one, I want you to note this, that it was borrowed. It was borrowed. Look in verse number 5. It says, but as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. I want you to understand this, that you and I, on our own, in our own power, and all that we have in our flesh, we're not going to accomplish anything for God that's worthwhile. We need the power of God upon our life. And if God is doing anything good through us, it is all because of His power. Anything good that you have is because of the Lord. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. I want you and I to do something for God, but I want you to know that in our flesh dwells no good thing. In our flesh, we will fail. In our own might, we will fall short. We need the power of God upon our lives. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 5, says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And I've heard many people preach on that verse, and they say, you know, all this junk that's out there, people at churches doing rock concerts and all this stuff, and they kind of refer to that in that verse. I don't think that's that verse at all. Because when I look at these guys that have tattoos all over their bodies with long hair and rock concerts going on and calling it church, that's not a form of godliness. That's a form of wickedness. You know what a form of godliness is? You're looking at it. You all have a form of godliness. I'm not saying you're denying the power. I'm asking you, are you denying the power? Because you can sit here and have every form of godliness, be surrounded with all the forms of godliness, but deny the power. And Paul says to Timothy, that's a mark of the last days. You're going to have forms of godliness, but no power of God on your life. Just because you're dressing right and listening to good music and going to a good church does not mean you have the power of God on your life. It is something that is from God. And you need to let God give that to you. You need to be usable of God. You need to submit yourself and be filled with the Holy Spirit of God every day. This axe head was borrowed. I want you to see, secondly, verse number 5, it was lost. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. It was lost. You know, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit indwelled you. And when the Holy Spirit indwelled you, now listen, you were given everything you need to live a godly, power of God life. Look over, keep your finger there, but look over in 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see the scripture for this. 2 Peter chapter number 1, then we'll go right back. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 3. Peter begins to write this epistle. It says in verse number 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are giving unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Did you know that when you got saved, God gave you through the Holy Spirit, He gave you everything for a godly life. You became, at the moment of salvation, a partaker of His divine nature. Is that what the Bible says? You were given, the power of God is there for you to live a powerful life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You, having, Peter says, escaped from this world and its lust. Did you know I believe that you can have that power of God, be submitted to it? Again, I'm not saying, you know, that you have to ask for some special blessing from the Holy Spirit. I believe you got all of Him the day you got saved. But what I am saying is this, that you can have God's power upon your life, just His presence is real. God is working through you. But through your own choices, sin, and lust, you can lose the working of the Holy Spirit and His power through your life. You can still go through all the motions, but you can lose that. You can still sit in church. You can still do your bus. You can still do your junior church, but not have the power of God in your life. You can still pastor. You can get up and preach and not have the power of God in your life. You and I need the power of God. I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I think you understand what I'm saying. We sang the song yesterday, "All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down." You and I got to be careful, because through our own choices and sinful choices and lust, we can lose the power of God working through our life. Just like this guy lost the axe head. I'm glad, back in 2 Kings, see these things real quick with me. I'm glad, number one, that he was concerned. Look with me again in verse number 5 in 2 Kings chapter 6. When this axe head fell into the water, I like his words. He said, "Alas, master." I'm glad he was concerned. I'm glad he was. He called out for his master. Because I think a lot of people, listen, they're not concerned. A lot of people don't care whether they have the power of God in their life. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't even realize that they don't have the power of God in their life. You remember Samson? The Bible says he wist not. He lost the power of God and didn't realize it. By the way, I'll just throw this at you. You know how Samson lost the power of God in his life? And it's the same three ways that you and I will lose the power of God in our life. Number one, listen closely, Samson lost respect for all of his authorities. He could care less about his authorities. He was telling mom and dad what to do. He didn't listen to God's word. He didn't care about what any of his authorities said. He was going to do it his way. And when you start pushing your authorities to the side and you don't want to listen to your authorities, I promise you this, the power of God will not work through your life. And like it or not, I don't care who you are, we all have authorities in our life. And we better submit to those authorities. The second thing that Samson did was this, he lost his areas of separation. When he lost his areas of separation, remember, don't touch anything dead, don't drink anything, your haircut, remember all those things, don't have time to preach it, I think you know the story. When he, as he lost his areas of separation that God told him to have, he lost the power of God in his life. It's important that you live a holy life. It's important. These standards that you hear preached all the time, you know why they're preached? Because the Lord told us to be ye holy, for I am holy. We ought to have a desire to live a righteous life. And you know what? You say, well, I'm just going to do it my way. I'm going to indulge my flesh in some things. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do it this way. You will not have the power of God in your life. And number three, Samson, what he did, was he had no relationship with God. And there's a few times he called out to God, but every time was whenever he was stuck. I know a lot of Christians that way. They go through their life, do their own thing, till there's a car accident. I need God! Till there's a bad health report. Listen, if you don't have a walk with God, you'll never have the power of God in your life. Spend time with Him daily. I'm thankful, number one, this guy, when he lost the axe head, he was concerned. And I hope you're concerned today, at least to stop and do some inventory. Number two, I'm thankful that he stopped chopping. I'm serious. He stopped chopping. You know, you picture him, right? He's standing here. He's like, clang, clang, chopping this thing down. Axe head flies into the water. Now, what was everybody, all the other sons of the prophets, what were they doing all around him? Chopping wood, right? You know, he could have went, no one could see me, right? You don't know if I have an axe head or not, do you? Right? I could have an axe head right here in my hand, right? I don't. All right? But he said, he could have been like, yeah, I'm still busy, right? He could have. And I know a lot of Christians who, you know, maybe even sitting in this room this morning, you know the power of God's not on your life, but you keep on going through all the motions because everybody around you is going through all the motions and you don't want to stand out. You don't want to be that guy. You don't want to have to humble yourself. Can I tell you something? Would you please stop this morning? Would you stop and ask God if His power is working through your life? Would you quit going, hopping on your bus and getting going out on visitation? And maybe some of you get a chance to speak sometimes, or going out soul winning, or working in your junior church. Would you stop and ask God, quit chopping, quit going through the motions? Because if you don't have the power of God, you're going to do no good. You could have kept hitting that tree with the axe handle, and I'm telling you, he would have gotten nowhere. But listen, look at me. He would have gotten frustrated. He would have got embarrassed. He would have got really tired. And a lot of people who are just going through the motions, they're frustrated with their Christian life. They're tired in their Christian service. And I'll tell you why, because they're trying to do the work without the power of God on their life. He quit chopping. Number three, I'm thankful for this. I'm glad he didn't look for a substitute. Axe head's gone. He didn't say, well, if I can just find a rock, right? If I can find me a big rock, I'll just hold this rock and kind of hit the tree. Not real effective. Maybe he didn't say, well, I got a pocket knife in my, you know, in my pocket. Because all real men carry a pocket knife, right? You know, I don't know if you're allowed to, but I am. All right, you know. He didn't reach in his pocket and be like, well, no one's looking around. Click. All right, you know, he didn't do that. Could have, but he didn't. He didn't look for any type of substitute. Because he knew, look at me, if he's going to get the job done, he's got to have that. There's a lot of people trying to get substitutes. They try to, instead of the power of God, they try to bring in things that please the flesh. Instead of the power of God, let me tell you what great churches were built upon in days gone by. Preachers who stood up with the power of God on their life. Not concerts. Not car shows. Men of God who stood up and preached, thus saith the Lord, with the power of God on their life. That's what built strong churches. And we're filled with a country today of people trying to find a substitute for the power of God because they don't want to get their own life right, and it's not working. I'm glad he didn't get a substitute. I want to point this out next. Listen, he knew exactly where he lost it. Look in verse number 6. The man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. You know what? I don't need to preach long on this. If you'll take the time to call out to your master and you don't have the power of God in your life, I promise if you'll ask him, you'll know exactly where you lost it. Because there was probably some choice that you made. There was probably something that you looked at. There was probably some temptation that you gave into. Or there was probably, in your own pride, you're just too busy and you haven't had time to have a walk with God. I don't know what it was. If you don't have the power of God in your life, I don't know what everybody's situation is, but I promise this, if you'll take the time to do some inventory this morning and pray and ask the Lord, He'll show you where you lost it and you can get it right today. I'm thankful today that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. The Bible still says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If you don't have the power of God in your life, I want you to think, where'd you lose it? That was the first question the master asked him, right? Where'd you lose it? If you ask God today and say, God, I don't think I have the power of your power in my life, God's going to say, all right, where'd you lose it? And if if you'll go back to that time and you'll know it, you need to get it right. God will show you. Let me show you one more thing. In verse number 6, the iron swam. Say, yeah, we know that. You already talked about it. I'm just here to tell you this. When he stopped and he did inventory and he turned to his master and then he confessed where he lost it, God did a miracle. And if you don't think iron is floating and swimming is a miracle, go ahead and take a chunk of iron and throw it out in the lake today, all right? You'll find out real quick. That's amazing what just happened. But I'm thankful today to be able to tell you that God restored, God brought it back, and that young man was able to continue. Because he stopped, he confessed it, he didn't hide it, he didn't try to keep going through the motions. He called out to God, or his master. We call out to God, God will allow us to be restored. And you know what? You may not be able to say, I don't think I've had the power of God a long time in my life, but did you know you can walk out those doors today, right with God, with the power of God on your life? Isn't that amazing that God would use us in such a way? But now listen to me. Verse number 7, listen to me. He had to reach out and take it. You're just sitting here looking at me and saying, well, that was a pretty good message. I do need the power of God in my life. Will do you no good. If you don't have the power of God in your life, you need to move today. You need to take the time to humble yourself. Was it humbling for that young man to have to call out for his master? Yeah, absolutely. But he knew he couldn't go on without it. Don't walk out these doors today, young people, knowing God's power is not in your life and you doing nothing about it. You're going to need to stop. You know, whenever he got that axe head out of the water, anybody got any? You guys got an imagination? Any? You nodded, sort of. All right, stand up, all right, ready? I'm just pulling a point out. Come over here, stand right there, ready? Right in front of you, imagine there's a river. You got that? Your feet are getting wet. No, I'm just kidding. All right, here, there's a river. There's an axe head down there in the water. It just floated up. Get it. Go get it. Stop. If you're going to have the power of God in your life, you're going to have to take the time to kneel down and reach your hand out and say, God, I need this. Get the axe head. That's exactly what that man had to do. You say, well, I'm not. People might think I, you can be seated. People might think that I'm not right. So? People might think that I haven't had the power of God in my life. Yeah, who cares? You're going to go through the motions. You can keep on chopping all you want to, but you're going to get nothing done. You're going to do nothing for God. Turn over, I'll read the scripture and I'll pray. Ephesians chapter 1. This is my prayer for you all as I step down off this platform today. Ephesians chapter number 1. Look in verse number 15 with me. Ephesians 1, verse number 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And I know I just met almost all of you, but I'm praying for you. I pray for this place. And I love you all, and I hope you serve the Lord. That the God of your Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. That's what you're here for. Revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know why you're here? You're here for that. You're here to learn. You're here to grow, to be enlightened. But I want you to know verse number 19. Look at it. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. can have all the enlightening and all the education in the world. You can learn all kinds of things about the Bible. But if you all don't have the power of God in your life, you're going to get frustrated. You're going to get tired. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to quit. You and I need the power of God in our life. Every one of you are chopping wood today. But where's the axe head? Do you have the power? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, I pray that, Lord, every young person, Lord, they would stop and do some inventory, please, this morning. And God, if they're going through motions and they haven't spent time with you, or maybe there's sin in their life, that, Lord, they do not have your power working through them, I pray, God, that they would humble themselves and kneel before a holy God this morning. Lord, that they might confess these things and you would give and work through them through your power. It would change their ministries. It would change their future ministry. It would change their life. And Lord, in the future, when there's times when the axe head it flies off, I pray we'd humble ourselves enough to fall down, know where it fell, and be able to you do a miracle in our life and restore that again. May God take this moment of invitation. May there be decisions that will affect eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. I'm going to ask you in just a second to stand, but I want you there in your seat before we stand to do some inventory. Is the power of God on your life? Are you going through motions, or is God truly working through you? His presence real? Only you can answer that question. I don't know your hearts, but I do know God laid this message on my heart, and I do know the importance of the word here, that we have to have His power in our life. Don't leave. If God isn't, His power isn't real in your life, do not leave. If you ask Him where you lost it, He'll show you. You'll know it. But get those things right with the Lord. Let's stand. I hope you've asked the Lord. The Lord's spoken to your heart. This invitation is for you. Would you come this morning?